You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Local elections are fast approaching, and there has been a trend over recent years of declining participation. The problem is particularly bad in Auckland, where turnout was under 40% last time around. This causes problems around representation at local government level, as well as setting the agenda in elections. I spoke with Professor Janine Hayward from Otago University about local government election turnout, starting by asking how low it actually is.
Low. So, comes and goes, and it depends on how you measure it, but certainly under 50%, which is not good.
And it's lower than central government elections?
Yeah, definitely, yep. So again, depending on how you measure it, we expect our central, general elections to be at around 80% these days, but, it's a good 50% lower. Oh, sorry, 30% at least lower for local government elections. But, it depends. So Auckland's got some of the worst turnout. I think their turnout was in the 30-something percent last time, and some of our smaller district councils have still got turnout that's really high, in the kind of 60s and early 70%. So it varies widely, but I think even that tells us a little bit about the kinds of things that encourage and discourage people from voting.
Do we know why, I suppose especially in Auckland, turnout is just so low?
Part of a general trend, apart from anything else, that turnout is declining internationally. We're seeing it. And it's particularly challenging at local government level. And I guess if you turn it around the other way, it's helpful to kind of think about the reasons that we know people will vote. So we know they will vote when, it has to be something that they've kind of been socialised into doing, which is a part of the challenge that we're confronting. But we know that they'll vote when they care about the issues, when they think that there's a really tight contest, when they feel that their vote's going to make a difference, or when when there's a really good profile for the election, media-wise. Mm. So if those are the reasons that engage people in voting, I guess the absence of those, you essentially have all of those sometimes in local governments, in terms of their absence. So across the board in local government elections, people often, they're very low profile. People don't know the elections are going on. It's really difficult for local media to try and cover a campaign to the extent that's required to get people interested. The issues sometimes don't ignite people's interests. They don't feel that their vote's actually going to make a difference. So I guess, in some senses, local government is, the odds are stacked against them in terms of turnout because the conditions of their elections, are challenging. So I sometimes think, actually, given that, our turnout isn't bad. We do have a determined group of voters in New Zealand that, despite the fact that in some cases all of those conditions are lacking in our local government elections, they'll still turn out and vote. So if you want to look at it that way, it's not so bad, but it is not as good as it ought to be. And there are some things that could be done about that.
What are these things?
One of the main issues, which is capturing some attention in the it has in the past too, in the build up to elections, is the question about the electoral system. So we still use, in the majority of our council elections, first past the post, mm-hmm. which is the worst choice you could make in terms of an effective electoral system for multi-member constituencies. So when you're electing a number of people at a time, first past the post is the worst system to choose because it does a very bad job of translating what people voted for into who gets elected. So what we see is that our councils don't represent the diversity of our populations because they tend to be dominated by people who are elected by the largest block of voters, who tend to vote for the same kinds of candidates. So that's really happening in Auckland. It happens in a lot of our other larger councils where the vote's getting dominated by particular groups. Auckland's mayor is being elected. I think I saw some figures that at the last election it was about 20% of voters actually voted for Auckland's mayor. So the option that we have in terms of a different electoral system is the single transferable vote that some councils are using. And we know that that means, for a mayoral election, for example, that the mayor has to get 50% support. So immediately you have a whole different issue about showing voters that their vote actually is going to count, that 80% of votes aren't going to get wasted if you vote for the mayor. and that there is a possibility, if there a diversity of people are standing, that actually communities can elect a diversity of candidates to represent them. And that then has the effect of making councils more visible, of them engaging in policies in ways that are likely to resonate more broadly with their community, and again of making people think that the issues that the councils are dealing with may be relevant to them and of interest, and that there's a point to voting.
And how does the how would the system work, the single transferable vote? Is it
if you vote in DHB elections, everyone has to use the vote there. So it's a really simple system that you don't get multiple votes, you just get one vote. But you cast that vote by ranking candidates according to your preference for them. So you put your most favoured candidate first, the person you like next best second, and so on consecutively until you don't want to rank anyone else, basically. So you just get to rank as many as you want, depending on how many you would like to support into office. So the principles that STV works on, apart from the fact that it just gives you a single vote, which immediately distributes votes more widely, so a greater proportion of the voting preferences are reflected in who gets elected, it also means that it kind of safeguards against wasted votes, and it's in two ways. So if I vote for somebody that I really like, but they're spectacularly unpopular and they're excluded first from the race, my vote will then immediately shift to my second preference to see if it can help elect them. And it will keep moving until, if it can, it helps to elect somebody.
And you've said some councils are starting to implement this. Why do you think we're not seeing it in places like Auckland and Wellington and Christchurch? Is it just too hard to implement?
No, it's very easy to implement. We're not seeing it because you know, if we know anything about elected representatives, it's that they are spectacularly self-interested when it comes to their electoral system, and they're not going to change an electoral system that helped them get elected. So the system that we can use for changing electoral systems is either that a council can just decide to do it by regulation in its representation review once every 5 years, or the community can raise a poll and have a referendum to try and change it. So we've had all of those things happen. Dunedin, Wellington's probably the most principled in its use of the single transferable vote, and it kept polling its constituents to make sure that they still wanted STV, and they've kept it. Dunedin had a public poll once, and the council's kept it since then. Same with Porirua, I believe. They might have brought it in as a council regulation. But, you know, in one instance, I think it was Thames Coromandel, the community changed to STV, and the first opportunity that the council got, it changed it back, because it can. So we've got this ridiculous system, not only that councils are deciding for themselves whether or not they want to change electoral system, and it's no surprise that they don't, but also that if communities, which is so unusual, manage to raise the numbers that they need to have a change, there's no guarantee that they can keep it, because councils can come in over the top of it at the next opportunity and change the electoral system back. So we just need, you know, we need some certainty for a start, and we need to take this decision out of the hands of councils. It really requires government to make a mandatory change to an electoral system that's actually going to make sure that the way that people vote is really nicely translates into who actually gets elected.
And do you think there's an issue with sort of finding out information at local body elections? So, I mean, you've got to vote for DHB, council, mayor, and it's just so hard, apart from this pamphlet they send out.
I know. Yes.
Do you think that's a real kind of deterrent to a lot of people?
That is an obstacle, absolutely. And that's what I was saying before, that, you know, in general elections, we have the advantage, and still lots of people don't engage, but at least we have national media covering the issues and giving us some of the information that we need to remind us that there's an election on, and to encourage us to think about, you know, in that case, it's just our electorate vote and our party vote. Whereas, as you say, on our ballot papers for local elections, there are often a lot of candidates standing, and we're voting those using first past the post or even ranking their candidates. You've got to think about some quite complicated things in terms of how many you like, who you like, you know, who you like best. And in Dunedin's mayoral election this year, we've got 14 candidates, you know, running for it, which is a few more than last time. And we do know that, you know, there are some people who will determinedly vote no matter what. There are some people who appear to have disengaged from voting, and it's hard to get them there. there is a big bunch in the middle that mean to do it, but something puts them off. And it is often that, oh, that's too hard, you know, and there's you open the booklet and think, oh, that's so much reading. Or you don't open the booklet.
Well,
you know, it's
yes.
just on your fridge, and you suddenly think, wait, when was the election? Have I missed it? So with the postal vote again, there's no moment of ceremony like we have with an election day that kind of focuses our attention. So we do know from, you know, focus group and survey work that there are a lot of well-intentioned voters who are just missing that opportunity, either because they've put it off or because something hasn't compelled them to engage, or because they tried but it just seemed too hard.
And just finally, what are the implications on our local government democracy if there's low turnout?
Well, it's never a good, it's not a good sign. I mean, it is, you know, it's one of our many barometers for how healthy your democracy is, voter turnout. So when it's declining, we know that there's something that's not right. And in terms specifically of local government elections, I guess one of the major issues for us is that we're entering this phase where local and central government are in something of a negotiation over who's going to be doing what in terms of our responses to climate change in particular. And if, you know, local authorities that are getting elected by a bare minimum of people turning up to elections are not going to well represent the really robust diversity of views that we need around council tables and the engagement that our councils are going to need with our communities and their constituency for us to be well informed and make these kinds of decisions well. So I guess, you know, now more than ever, we really do need robust local government that's able to do whatever the job is central government allows it to do in terms of react responses, adaptation and mitigation around climate change, and also just advocate where local government feels it needs a greater role. A stronger face for local government would help with that, and that absolutely requires a really solid mandate from voters, which, you know, currently is looking pretty ropey in some parts of the country.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.